Blog Talk Radio.
One thing I did notice in this week's breakouts was that
Showtime sure is taking hindsight to HBO on the Mayweather fight. So now they've scheduled 12 fights between now and the end of the year, starting November 12th with Devin Alexander versus Sean Porter. 12-2, Zab Judah against our good friend Paulie Malignaggi, the guy everybody wants to drag in the center from one time or another, followed by Adrian Bonner and Marco Molinas, Carlos Molina and Victor Ortiz, and a fan of the Florida area, Keith Thurman, against Jesus Casas. I hope I didn't kill him too bad.
Yeah, HBO's fall schedule for boxing is really booked, but that's because Showtime was really big in the early fall and in the summer. And so HBO really kind of kicks off with the pay-per-view tonight with Juan Manuel Marquez versus Timothy Bradley. Then shortly we'll have the pay-per-view with Brandon Rios against Manny Pacquiao. So HBO has a heavy fall schedule, but Showtime has had a heavy summer schedule, though. So.
Right.
And nobody but the fans benefit from the basically the broadcasting wars. Nobody.
Yeah,
right.
You know what? And what's great is this year the broadcasting wars were with HBO being heavy in the fall, Showtime being heavier towards the summer. So we're not getting so many dual date cards like the year we had Julio Cesar Chavez fighting on one station and then Sergio Martinez fighting on the other. We're not getting that this fall, which is a great thing.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing talking about tonight's fight, I guess Timothy Bradley must think that he's the I-95 because he keeps going on and on and on about how he's going to win tonight and how he's going to punish his opponent. And seems to get a little tired here. Whether this is he's trying to buy insurance when he gets his ass whipped or what, but he certainly is running his mouth.
One thing I can say about Timothy Bradley is he's a guy. Actually, he's still undefeated on his record, and he has something to prove. He always has something to prove, and I mean, he fights like he does, to be honest. But I mean, he went into the Provotnikov fighting like he had the world to prove, and it cost him. But he won the fight, but it still cost him some months of pain.
Sure.
So I mean, really, Timothy, he has that kind of heart. So he talks what he feels. The way I see it, he talks what he feels.
Mm-hmm. I think we all on this radio show, Zito, but you guys both know how I feel about Juan Manuel Marquez, my favorite fighter. Timothy Bradley is talking a lot of because that's Timothy Bradley. Timothy Bradley, he's not one for a quiet confidence, though he appears to have a quiet demeanor. He's not an outspoken like Floyd Mayweather, but he's very confident, and he has no problem voicing that, as you see. Also, I do sense that Timothy Bradley is talking a little more than I'm used to seeing him talk, and I think part of it is he has great respect for Juan Manuel Marquez, which he stated several times. Juan Manuel Marquez is actually one of Tim Bradley's favorite fighters. Also, I think he really feels he can beat Marquez, and I feel that he believes if he beats Marquez, that puts him on the elite level. If he beats him clean, fair, non-controversial, kind of like what it was with Pacquiao, that coupled with the Provotnikov fight, which made him all of a sudden more marketable because now Tim Bradley's not a boring fighter all of a sudden. If he beats Marquez, then he has that name on his resume, that scalp on his ledger, and he thinks that will, make him elite. So Zito's right. He has a point to prove, and he's fighting like him. But he's fighting against a Juan Manuel Marquez who's going for his fifth championship in five different weight classes. He'd be the first Mexican to do that. He's already in rarefied air as far as Mexican greats, but that would legitimately put him in the same breath as El Gran Campeón Julio Cesar Chavez Sr.
Yeah, and with Timothy Bradley, he also feels a level of disrespect to where, he got the decision over Pacquiao, and people, he feels he won, and the boxing world and most of the other world feels he lost, and he has to hear that in the press. The Provotnikov fight, he went through war with it, and he gets criticized for it. So he feels that he's going into this fight people are saying that, you know, Marquez, it seems that he's almost a favorite. I'm not sure of the Vegas odds, but, you know, from what I'm hearing, it seems that people are favoring Marquez. And Timothy should feel disrespected. He has a zero on his record, and he's going to this fight, you know, a little talk down to, I should say.
You know who was a world-class champion at 30, Tim Riley 30, and didn't seem to get the respect they deserve in spite of what they had accomplished, and that was Juan Manuel Marquez. So to a certain extent, he knows where Tim Riley is as far as where he's at in his career and his status in his career. The difference, though, is Marquez had a couple fights where, you know, maybe he should have won, but he didn't, and so it never gave him that respect. And he fought in the shadow of Marco Antonio Barrera and Eric Morales, who were fighting each other, and neither one of these guys wanted to fight Juan Manuel Marquez at that time. The difference, Tim Riley has gotten those opportunities, and even though he's walked away with a zero on his record, people have always found fault with his performances, whereas Marquez, people didn't find fault with his performances necessarily, but he couldn't keep the zero on his record. So we have an interesting dichotomy of a fighter who feels like he's being completely disrespected, yet some people feel like he was given a couple gifts, and a fighter who felt like he's finally getting the respect he deserves, but yet has been giving nothing throughout his career. So it's an interesting dichotomy to me.
And they both are hardworking fighters.
With heart, both can be knocked out and both will get up.
Absolutely, with heart, tremendous heart.
The co-feature, Zito, is Orlando Salido against Orlando Cruz. Why is that noteworthy? Obviously, we know the credentials Orlando Salido brings, but Orlando Cruz is the 2000 Puerto Rican Olympian who recently came out as being homosexual. So he is the only active professional athlete right now, and obviously the only active boxer. So that's, you know, gotten a little bit more of a story than it would normally get a co-feature fight. Also, was drawing a little bit of controversy.
Is
that Dr. Chris?
No. We have right now on the line with us, we have a man whose fists are faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. He's able to jump small women with a single bound. Mr. Danny Bell.
That was the hint you had to give, huh?
How's it going,
Danny? Hey, Danny, how's it been going?
Oh, it's going good, man. Going very good. You know, I can't complain. Everything's on course.
Danny,
good,
you've had
good,
some terrific fights here lately. Well, they haven't lasted long because you're so good. But
I gotta give my hats off to my promoter Chad Broussard. You know, I was off for a couple of years. Last few fights, give me the right guys, you know, to get back, get the rust off me. Can't say enough good things about me. He's one of the very few people that I've met in this sport that everything he said he was gonna do, he does. He holds his word, and he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, do you have anything coming up?
November 30th, I am fighting Johnny White. He's got a pretty good record. He's 24-4. It's going to be a good fight. You know, I'm going to step up a little bit. See how it goes. So, I'm definitely looking forward to that one. This one's got me more excited than these last few. So, I can't wait to get in it.
Hey, Danny, is that fight also in Louisiana?
Yes, it is. It's down at the Cypress Bayou Casino.
All right, so are you starting to make yourself a pretty nice little draw down there?
Oh, yeah, you know, the people love me down there, and the people are so nice in Louisiana. It trips me out.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk down the sidewalk, everybody says hi to you, ask you how your day is. I mean, people are so nice.
Nice.
Now, Danny, you're still fighting at heavyweight, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, speaking of heavyweights, did you see the Klitschko-Povetkin fight?
No, I didn't, but I heard I didn't miss much. Everybody's been complaining about it, telling me all they did was hold.
Not all they did, huh, Zito?
Yeah, all Klitschko did was hold, but you might as well say they because it takes two to hold.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I mean, now did Klitschko, I mean, win easy? I mean, what was it, unanimous decision?
It was a wide unanimous decision. He floored Povetkin like three times, Danny. But what happened was Povetkin made him very uncomfortable earlier. Povetkin's feet were a little quicker than I thought Klitschko may have imagined. His hands were a little quicker, too. And Povetkin was able, with head movement and a solid jab to the chest, was easily able with the first round to get inside. And Klitschko looked extremely uncomfortable. And so what Klitschko would do is hit him and then hold, grab him. And that's the pattern throughout the fight. He would punch and grab, punch and grab.
Well, Ralph, he would punch and grab in the same motion. So if he missed with a punch, it'll turn into a fast grab. He dove
right,
off Povetkin's back one time. He literally, you know, and Povetkin ducked down and he dove on his back to hold him.
One of the commentaries on the fight, Danny, was that Klitschko should have either definitely been deducted points and possibly even disqualified. It was excessive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, when I fought Alexander Dimitrenko over in Germany, you know, he was 6'8", and after I hurt him a couple times, that's what he was doing to me. They throw a long jab or a long right hand, and they just come down on top of you, come down on top of you, hold you behind the head, push your neck down. That's all them big guys can do, you know. I mean, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 because they're big, and that's the advantage of being big. You know what I mean? You can't tell them not to use what they got. You know,
but at the same time, I think the ref does have to start to warn him for holding.
I agree, in a clinch,
you're supposed to put your weight on someone. It behooves you to put your weight on someone in a clinch. But that's when the ref never deducted Klitschko a point or warned Klitschko for holding. It was completely acceptable.
Because it's Klitschko. But, My opinion is to beat a Klitschko, I think you have to be in tremendous, tremendous shape because from what it sounds like, Povetkin did have the right game plan. But what you got to really do is when they put their weight on you, when they put their arms on your back, you got to get dirty with them guys, man. You got to hit them low. You got to hit them in the hips. You got to do what you got to do to get them off.
And that's what Zito was calling for Povetkin to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't just let them do it to you because if you let them do it to you, they're going to do it to you all night.
It takes two to tango. And holding should not be a defensive tactic. When the ref lets you use holding as a defensive tactic,
I agree.
Then something's wrong. I mean,
I mean, I always thought there should be a rule in boxing. I mean, let's face it. When you throw a punch, your punch goes out and your punch comes back in, correct?
Correct.
I think if your arms are out for any extended amount of time, it's your fault. You should be warned. You should have points anyway. Your arms should be in. You should be covered up. You should be in your defense. Your arms don't need to be around the guy's back or around the guy's head.
And you know what? And it's funny. I think you would have had a huge problem with the way the Klitschko-Povetkin fight was officiated.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dan, we've been talking even around here that there's been some controversial calls that, and one lady seems to be at the root of it in Vegas.
Well, the way they had points by the draw.
Yeah.
There should be no questions should be asked. No questions should be asked. There should be no debating it. That woman should never be allowed around a boxing ring again in her life. Come on, Floyd fight a draw, a blind person. I mean, that outrages me for a couple reasons. One, I don't think, I mean, this may cause a stir, but for one, I don't think women have any right anywhere near a man's sport like boxing. I don't think they should be a judge, an official, nothing. I don't think they should be anywhere near it. Two, anyone that does a fight like that and judges like that should be just banned from the sport of boxing.
You know, here's the thing. CJ Ross is the name we're throwing out there because she's the one who had the horrible verdict we're talking about, the horrible card for the Floyd Mayweather fight, the Floyd Mayweather Canelo Alvarez fight. That also was the biggest fight of the year, so that's why, and it was obviously a lopsided fight, but that's why that name is being thrown out there. The names that aren't being thrown out there are the names who, the very few weeks later, did the same thing with Julio Cesar Chavez and Brian Vera, because that decision to me was almost just as bad. And so what happens is one thing CJ Ross did, she stepped down. Now, I think she stepped down because she was, you know, she wanted to get away from the controversy. Instead of her stepping down, Keith Kaiser, the head of the Nevada Commission, should have placed her down. And that's what happens. These officials do not get penalized for poor performances. Russell Mora in the when he refereed the Joseph Akpeko Abner Maris fight, when Maris was clearly hitting Akpeko low, he wasn't penalized for that performance. T.J. Ross wasn't penalized for a poor performance. So it doesn't even cost these people, you know, a couple dollars, you know. So
it really hurts boxing because, you know, here's how I judge it. The last few times I've seen fights like that, I've had people around me that know nothing about boxing. And when they see something like that, they look at me and they say, why did that person win? I said, you know, right people are in the right pockets. And, you know, they said, For someone that don't know nothing about boxing, they just automatically say, well, that's stupid, that's dumb, I don't want to watch that no more. It hurts the sport bad.
Yep. It takes away from it.
Yes, it does. And
it takes away from the hard.
Dying.
It takes away from the hard work that the boxers put in.
Yeah, I mean that's someone's life, man. I mean that's someone's livelihood. That's someone's. You know, that's everything. You know, that's everything. You're working for everything. You know, you're giving your all in there. You know, it's blood and guts. You know.
And you know, and the reason why C.J. Ross's name is out there is because she, you know, had a horrible card by, you know, our standards for the Pacquiao Bradley fight. So then she does it for the Mayweather-Alvarez fight. So she's officially done it in, like, you know, two of the biggest fights in the last couple of years. So it puts her right, you know, on the front page as far as what's going on. But what it really needs to also do is, along with putting her on the front page, it needs to put on the front page exactly what's going on. Cards like this happen every Saturday night. It's just that the public, general public's not watching every Saturday night. Guys like us are watching every Saturday night. But like you said,
right,
Danny, all of a sudden you have a big fight, and you're bringing these casual fans. I know people who don't know anything about boxing. They'll ask me, hey, could Danny Batchelder beat Hector Camacho? And I got to explain to them how you're completely different weight categories. You know what I mean? People don't know anything about boxing, but they'll show up for a Floyd Mayweather fight, then you get a decision like that, and that's why they don't know much about boxing.
Right, exactly. You know, I have some close friends of mine, and I have one friend of mine from California who's, you know, been with me ever since I've been pro. He goes to all my fights, no matter where they are. And you know, after him seeing the decisions like me against Tony, me against Whitaker, Dimitrenko, then the other boxing upsets that are like Pacquiao, Bradley, you know, like all them things. There was a guy that would not ever miss an ESPN Friday night fight. He'd never miss a pay-per-view. He'd never miss a Showtime HBO fight. Now, he hardly ever watches boxing because he's just so sick of it. He said, he said, before you came along, I love the sport. He goes, but now I know how dirty it really is and how corrupt. He said, I don't even want to watch it.
Like, what are the exact requirements to be a judge?
I don't know.
To be honest with you, I talked to a friend of mine as a judge here in Florida. And, in fact, Bob Alexander's wife just was certified.
Oh, that's
what
right.
He was
told
doing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she went. What they have to do is they go and sit next to a judge, and they score 10 fights in a row. And once they've got their 10th fight in, then they can apply and they get a license to be a judge. They don't have to have technical background.
So
they have no school for them. There's nothing.
So their test is a matter of opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, like, for the Pacquiao-Bradley fight, you would have been better off picking three random drunk people out of the crowd and saying, hey, what's this fight?
Wow, that's true, though.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I guarantee you would have got the winner. You would have got the right guy.
But see, here's a question, I guess. Like, so she sits down and she judges 10 fights, and the judge is watching her. You know, I'm sure she judges them, and she probably does a pretty good job. I'm going to assume Bob Alexander's wife's on the up and up. She judges right. And so the judge who's overseeing her sees she does a good job. I don't think the problem necessarily is with the education of judging a fight. I think the average person, like you said, the average drunk could watch a fight and be like, that guy won. You know what I mean? I'm not saying boxing isn't more complicated to score, but I don't think it's rocket science. I think the problem comes in not with the education of the judges, but the appointing of the judges. I think something's rotten in Denmark, kind of like Danny said. It gets to a point. with the Pacquiao fight, like you said, three drunks could have told you who won that fight. In fact, a lot of drunks did tell you who won that fight. But yet, three professionals sitting there to judge the fight got it wrong. So I guess my question is, are they not educated in the art of judging a fight? I'm assuming they are. They've been doing it for years.
Hey, but you want to know something? You want to know something?
Sir.
When that Pacquiao-Bradley fight happened, I couldn't make sense of it for my life. I was like, what are they doing? Why would they take that one from Pacquiao? What fight are they going to try to build now? But now look what they got. Look at the fight now. Two men that
again,
are beating Pacquiao
this fight was not
other.
A paper. If and I don't think Bradley won that fight. Marquez did
no,
not
no.
win his fight. This fight
but,
is not
but
as
look
big
what
a
they're
fight.
Doing now.
Yep, and they're promoting it as the two guys who last beat Pacquiao. So you're
right,
absolutely
that,
right.
Even though
this
Bradley
fight is
did
not a
not
pay-per-view fight. If Bradley doesn't get
right.
that decision, this fight's not a pay-per-view fight. Aram does not make this fight
right.
a pay-per-view fight. You're absolutely
right.
And really, if Bradley didn't go through what he went through with Provodnikov,
that would be
the
other thing.
I mean, because... And you're absolutely right. It's a cause and effect thing. I mean, when Bradley got that decision, it was meant to be. Why? Because Bob Arum now is making money off of Bradley. So eventually it worked out for him.
But he's
still going to make money off of Pacquiao. So.
Yeah.
What he did is he built another – he built Bradley. Like, Bradley wasn't really – until Pacquiao – Bradley wasn't a B-side to a pay-per-view. It's Pacquiao. Of course, anybody could be a B. I could be a B-side to Pacquiao's pay-per-view. That was Bradley. But because of what happened, now he's created a legitimate B-side, and then Marquez knocks out Pacquiao. Bob Arum wins, no matter what happens. But Bob
exactly.
Arum wins.
He has three stars.
Yep.
He just needs another star.
Yep, that's it. That's the name of the game, you know?
Hey Dan, bring us up to date on the new Batchelder fighter.
Oh well, I've been blessed. You know, I've been able to get myself back to a great state of mind and living probably better than I've ever lived in 10 years. And I'm just, you know, I'm in the gyms every day. You know, I'm training hard. I'm refocused. Everything's going great. You know, and yeah, I just was able to rejuvenate myself one last time here to get this one last run in. Just to, you know, I got a lot of spite in me this time. There's a lot of spite and anger in me driving me because, you know, I hear people say I'm shot, I'm overrated, I never was this, I never was that. I mean, they can say what they want, don't bother me. But you know, I know who I fought and who I really won and who I didn't win against. So, you know, I'm gonna show them this time around. I'm very fortunate to have Chad Broussard moving me the right way. You know, I finally got somebody that has my back now. And I guarantee you, this time you guys will see a different outcome. You know, you put me in a fair situation, I'll come out on top. And that's exactly what I plan on doing. That's what I'm gonna do. And I'm very driven. I'm determined. And you know, it's gonna happen one way or the other.
Good to hear that. What's your fighting weight at right now, Danny?
I'm anywhere. My last fight was 236, but you know, it was kind of like an outdoor weigh-in, so I had like some shoes on and shorts. I'm probably for this next one, I'll probably be 225.
Danny, let me ask you. They often say youth is wasted on the young. Now that you're a little older, a veteran of the game, how have your training? I know obviously you're working harder. But what differences have you made in training to accommodate for the wisdom you have in boxing now?
Well, you know, some days you can't go as hard as you used to go. You know what I mean? You gotta kinda train smarter, you know. Some days you can't, you know, like the road work, for example. I can't rip as fast as I used to on that road, bothers my legs and my hips, you know, so you know, I gotta change my road work around a little bit. You know, I don't need as much sparring now as I used to. I don't really spar as much as I used to either. You know, I spar two times a week, and that's usually good for me because I get so much other conditioning work in. As long as my timing is good and I'm okay. So, I mean, you got to make little adjustments, you know what I mean? Because, you know, when you're young, you don't get – I mean, you can just go hard every day. Your body can just take it better, you know. So, as you get older, you got to make a little adjustments here and there. But, you know, I've been feeling good, and I've been making sure that, you know, in between fights, like, I don't take more. The absolute longest I'll take off is 7 days, and then I'm back in the gym. So, I keep my body strong and I keep it in shape, so I don't get really a sore or as bad as out of shape as I could. So that's the name of the game right now. Right now, the most important thing to me is staying active every day, because the more active you are, your body stays in tune and you don't really fall apart as much.
How much better do you think you are now at your craft, now that you're a little older than you were when you were a little younger, and in what ways?
You know, I feel that I'm taking my time a lot more than I used to. I see a lot more now. I think my eyes are probably at the best they've been as far as what I see coming and how I can set things up. And, you know, I definitely am looking forward to in the next few fights getting there with someone near the top or someone they think is going to be the top, because the way I'm fighting now, I just feel that I've really come into my own. I feel that I have the patience, the timing. I'm not in a rush. And I really feel like a complete fighter. I know I've got it now. And, you know, I've learned a lot of great things from a lot of great fighters. And, you know, I'm really able to apply it now. And I feel great, man. I feel great. And I'm ready for whatever comes at me or near me. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to being able to show it one more time and really get to where I really feel I should have been.
You know, Dan, I've known you for a number of years. And, you know, through ups and downs, I've never heard you so clear or so fixed on your craft as you've been in the past, and I am proud to say that you're part of our family. I really am.
I'm very proud
of you. I've always known you've had that in you. I always knew that you were going to come around, and we were going to be sitting here sometime when you have a big fight, and the three of us are going to be there right by your side, and Frankie too.
I can't wait.
I'm going to try and get down for the next fight with Frank. I'm going to try and get Frankie down there. We'll try and fly in together and meet you down there.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. Yeah, you'll love how they – man, Chad does such nice shows down there. Wait till you see how he does his shows. Oh, man, it's crazy how he does. You know, when I first got with Chad, you know, smaller promoter, you know, you go to a lot of these little small shows, you know, and you just kind of expect not much. I mean, man, he does them up big down there. You have to see the lightings he's got and this and that. Man, he does the shows A+. Does a great job on them. He really gives the crowd their money's worth.
Hey, Danny, are you the main event in this one?
I believe so. I think I might be. I'm not sure. He had spoke of it. He said this will be the main event this time around. I got to talk to Chad this week, see if they're going to make it the main event, but I believe it is, yes.
That's great. That's absolutely fabulous. How about your son? How's he doing?
Oh, he's doing great. You know, he's a big reason of why I'm doing what I'm doing now, too, because, you know, them kids, you know, when they get older, they're going to see how you went out and what you did, you know, and that was part of my reason of wanting to rewrite everything, because, you know, I want to make sure they've seen that I went out the right way. So, but he's doing good. He's been in the gym, and he's doing good. He's sick right now, so he's been off a couple of days. He's doing good. He seems to like it quite a bit and stuff. So, and he's playing hockey, too, this year. So he wants to try ice hockey. So, yeah, I'm in ice hockey. Boy, I didn't know how expensive that was. Boy, I felt like in half when I paid all that money. Oh, my God. Boy, I looked at him, and I said, whether you like it or not, you're going through this season. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Look,
but things are good. Things are going well.
Good. And everything else seems to be falling in place and on your business side. I want to say we wish you the very best of everything in life and in the ring, and hopefully we'll be able to get down there on the 30th for your fight.
Oh, that'd be great, man. You know, I love all you guys, man. You guys are great people, great family. I love you guys. You guys are awesome people. I'm very fortunate to have met you and very fortunate to how you've treated me and brought me in. And always appreciate you guys big time.
Well, thank you. And we appreciate you sharing your time away from your family like this. And we're going to call you between now and the 30th just to get an update on where you're going and how things are going. And who do you think after John White? Let me ask you one more question. After John White, who do you think you'd be looking at? Do you have a choice?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll probably have to sit down and talk a little bit. You know, I want to get into a position where I can get a shot at someone good. You know, I mean, you know, now I got someone that's got my back and will give me the right fight. You know, until they give me the right fight, I'm going to just stick with, you know, what we're doing. You know, we've kind of got a little plan together, and you know, I'm going to keep fighting. And I know sooner or later the door will open and they'll offer me the right guy. And, you know, when they do, you know, that's my time, you know. So until then, I'm just going to work hard and stay focused and just wait for that right one to appear and come out of nowhere, you know. And then, you know, then it's my time. Then it's all on me, and that's what I want. I want the ball in my hands when it's time to perform, you know what I mean? So. When it's time, I'll be there.
Good deal. Okay, Dan, well, we want to thank you again for giving us this time away, taking this time away from your family and give us an update of where you're going and how you're doing. And I did try to call Chaz, and like you said, his phone was busy, but I'll try him again later on this week, see if we can get him on.
No
if we
problem,
get him
man.
On for next week, I'll call you and let you know, and maybe we get all of everybody together at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay, Dan.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
Hey, hey, man, you guys all have a great night, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye, man.
And always a gentleman, always a great guy, always fun to be with, and he, yeah, like I said, we've known him for a number of years, and he's gone through some transitioning, but, boy, I've never heard him so focused or so clear-minded. And I'm really proud to say that he's a good contributor to our show.
Yes, yes, definitely. Always a pleasure having Danny on.
Yeah. Guys, Danny's rare. He's a guy with bare knuckle fought.
Yes,
don't have many of those.
Yeah, and let's not let the one thing that sticks in most men's mind. Alyssa Milano for a year.
Alyssa Milano. Still trying to figure out how he pulled that off.
I'm gonna
Danny, how'd you pull that off, man? I know what you look like.
I'm gonna get off here a minute and get the new Ray Robinson.
That's my dude.
Oh, I hear that. So, Todd, what'd you think about Mikel's Cotto's destruction over Delvin Rodriguez?
You know what? Last week when we were on the show, and I forget the other gentleman we had on the show, but we were talking about Miguel Cotto's decline. And, you know, one of the things I stated, I said, you know, that may be the case, but I don't know if he has a guy in front of him who can bring that out. I thought Miguel Cotto looked good. I thought a lot of that had to do with the guy he had in front of him. Delvin Rodriguez has always been vulnerable to a left hook. He's never been a big puncher. Even though he's a tall guy for junior middleweight, Delvin had been fighting at welterweight up till a couple fights ago. So, you know, he's the kind of guy who has some skills, but he's always failed at the elite level. So nothing that happened last week surprised me. I think Cotto would need to fight a sterner test before I would make a statement. I thought he had a good performance. You can't destroy someone in three rounds and not be a good performance. I don't care who you fight. But, I think part of that was attributed to the guy in front of Zeta.
Delvin Rodriguez, naturally, he's been fighting most of his career at, what, 140? Lighter than welterweight,
147.
Am I correct?
147.
Oh, he's been fighting welterweight, basically. And he hasn't been the biggest welterweight.
Yeah, just tall.
Oh, I mean, he's tall. But Delvin, bone structurally, is not the biggest welterweight.
Not at all.
Simple as
not
that. And he doesn't – Delvin, he does everything good. But Delvin's not elite. He's not he throws a good jab. He throws a good 1-2, I should say. He throws a good 1-2. He still can get caught within that process.
Right.
Delvin, he's not he maybe think defense at times, but he's not defensive savvy by any means.
Right.
He doesn't hit hard. He's not fast. He doesn't. I mean, he doesn't have the most iron armor. I mean, it's all good. Fighting, he had a draw with Paul Wallace. That should have told you everything there with him fighting Cotto. I thought that he might give Cotto trouble, depending Cotto's demeanor, and Cotto's having a new trainer. Which I want to ask you, Todd. Do you think that had anything to do with his destruction over Delvin?
Nope. I think he, you know what? It's funny because Floyd Mayweather Sr. was interviewed. Floyd Mayweather said he could have done that without Roach. And I do agree, he would have done the same thing without Roach. If he had Pedro Diaz in his corner, he would have done the same thing. He had a guy in front of him he could walk over, and he did. And you know what? It, to me, the Delvin Rodriguez fight and the destruction of Delvin Rodriguez, it was akin to when he fought Alfonso Gomez after he lost to Margarito. And, you know, he fights Alfonso Gomez, he destroys Alfonso Gomez, everybody's like, oh, Cotto's back. And I'm like, well, that was Alfonso Gomez. You know, for Cotto, he destroys that level of opposition. No disrespect to Gomez or to Delvin Rodriguez, who are both, you know, good quality prize fighters. But Cotto destroys that level of opposition. So, to me, what I saw was what I saw before.
Hey, guys, we have a, talking about good prize fighters, we have a guy who just got a good prize out of fighting. He's joining us now, the new Ray Robinson.
Oh, that's my dude.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's good, man?
Hey.
How you guys?
About to make an announcement you want to make here. At, I got a, you know, I was laying in bed the other night, and my phone went off, and I looked up, and I get an announcement from my good friend, Mr. Dave Tabiri, who was going to be on, but he had a social engagement, of course. But he did alert me to something, and I think Mr. Robinson may want to announce tonight. So would you like to do that, sir? Let me just check here. We are currently at 93,212 listeners.
Wow.
So they're waiting to hear this announcement.
Oh, I don't know what, that I won my fight?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah, I won the big fight. I won. I stopped Ray Nahr in the seventh round, so, and I won the USBA title. So, that was a great feeling.
And you got.
Right, if you remember last time we had you on,
mm-hmm.
I made a statement because you were, you know, Ray Nahr was a guy who had a lot of momentum, a lot of hype coming in because he was on his little knockout streak, and I made a statement that because you beat him, that it would be quite possible that I could see somebody, you know, a high-quality fighter coming off a loss calling you out, you know, taking a fight with you because you'd be a credible opponent and, you know, you've never been dominated in a fight. And I could see somebody taking that fight because it would look good on TV. You have a quality
mm-hmm.
record, you know what I mean? I read something this week, and when I read it, I immediately thought of you. And it's why I said you would be able to get a good fighter coming off a loss. Ray Nahr, who you TKO'd your last fight, now will be fighting former Money Team fighter and current Bob Arum Top Rank fighter, Jesse Vargas. So Ray Nahr, who you just knocked out, gets a shot at this undefeated hyped prospect. Why does Ray Nahr get that shot? Well, because you just knocked him out. That's why Sugar Ray Robinson doesn't get that shot, because you were the guy who knocked him out.
Yeah.
So, that kind of really pissed me off a little bit, because if boxing worked properly, they would be like, well, we can't give it to Ray Nahr. Let's go give it to the guy who beat Ray Nahr. Let's give the
mm-hmm.
guy who beat Ray Nahr the shot at the top rank Golden Boy kid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
but
absolutely.
No. That's why I said for you, with what you're doing, it has to come off of somebody. It would have to be Jesse Vargas coming off a loss.
Yeah.
Because then they have to take that chance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this
yeah,
is clearly.
Yeah, I got a lot of phone calls after I seen that. So.
Oh, you saw that too?
Yeah, I did. They
oh,
fought,
man.
I believe they fought last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I saw that and I was
night.
Just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
I said, but you know what? I told Ray. It will come off of a loss. It comes off somebody getting a loss, not somebody coming up who's undefeated, because they don't want to take that chance. Oh, you just stop this guy. This guy's just been stopped. He's vulnerable. Let's fight him. That's what
mm-hmm.
happens. That's what happens. They didn't want to take a chance against you, even though it would be for a USBA title.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah, he's number one to mandatory to fight me for the USBA, and you're right. He didn't call me out. I didn't hear nothing about that. You know, I did see him, you know, he went straight for Ray Nahr, so.
Then I hear an interview with Jesse Vargas, no disrespect to him, but, you know, he's talking about, you know, after this fight, I want the Juan Manuel Marquez's and this, that, and the third. all right, okay, after this fight, but you're just beating a guy who just got mopped up.
That's
why
yeah, I don't get
the,
that.
Why not fight the mopper? Why not fight the mopper and prove you belong with the Marquette?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's,
you know what I mean?
That's what I was thinking, too, because I looked at one of the interviews, and he's like, oh, after I beat this guy, I definitely should be going somewhere. I definitely should, you know, go to the next level. And he's like, what about me? What about I just knocked this guy out? You know, I just, you know, won, and I won spectacular. So, you know, what about me? You know, so, yeah, so I totally agree with you, what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to come for you. It's going to come with somebody who has to take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Right now, because Jesse Vargas is with Top Rank, he's been with Golden Boy, he's fought on the undercards of pay-per-views in fights I thought he lost. I thought he lost to Jose Zito Lopez when he fought, honestly, at 140. But because of that, they don't have to take a chance. So when we talk about ducking, it's not always just a guy saying, you know what, that's the wrong style for me. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. No, I don't want the guy that beat him. I want the guy that lost. And it's
mm-hmm.
not even necessarily the fighter, but it's the management. Top Rank doesn't want him to take a chance and lose. Now he's an undefeated kid, prospect.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in boxing, is probably the only sport where vulnerability can make you money.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Ray, you've had a pretty successful out-of-the-ring business experience. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I wound up starting out my own gym. Something that I love doing is staying around boxing and teaching. So I wound up opening up my own gym that's called BoxFit, me and my partner Ashley. And, you know, she is she's brilliant when it comes to fitness. And, you know, I'm great at boxing, and we wanted to put it together and, you know, work with, you know, kids and families and things like that. And we started our gym at 85 East Street Road in Feasterville, PA.
Oh.
It's called Box Fit. So it's doing really good now.
Now, Feasterville, if everybody knows, is in Montgomery County. And this man tried to tell me the other night he was in Philadelphia. His gym was in Philadelphia. Now, come on. Now, Philadelphia ends at Red Lion Road.
We got a turf war on the radio.
Road, you're already up in Feasterville. Come on.
Yeah, I'm in Feasterville.
That's great. And are you taking boxers on, or are you taking young kids on, or what are you doing?
I'm taking all comers. Anyone that want to learn, anyone that, you know, want to do the sport, try it out. You know, I even have older guys that's 40 or 50 years old that say, oh, this is something I wanted to do since I was 10 years old or 12 years old. You know, I take all comers on, whoever want to learn and, you know, keep an open mind, I teach them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And with that in mind, and the fact that you have a great business sense going and a great business going, what's the what's the next for you as far as your next opponent? Who would you like to see next?
I'm in shape. I'm willing to take anyone. I'm ready. I can fight tomorrow. You know, this is the type of business that there's no such thing as all season. So, and I learned that. So that's why I stay in shape, and, you know, I fight all year round. You know, whoever, you know, I let my managers. I think Champs Management is, you know, doing a great job with me. The last couple of fights, I got some title shots. So whatever, you know, they get ready for me and lined up, I'm ready to take on. I love to, you know, fight them all, honestly, if I can. I love to fight Devin Alexander. I love to fight the, you name it, I'm ready. So,
right, you know,
anyone
Devin Alexander
to give me a shot.
You know Devin Alexander is scheduled to defend against somebody you're quite familiar with, Sean Porter.
I just seen that. I wasn't
yeah.
too sure about that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
When is it? Next month? Next month.
How do you see that fight going, Devin? How do you see the fight going, Neil?
So it depends on the styles. So, you know, I think, you know, if Devin fight his fight, you know, he'll win. If Sean fight his fight, he'll win. So it all depends on who show up that night.
Okay.
Where are they fighting at?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, about,
do anyone know where
he's
fighting at?
Where, I don't know where the fight is at. I'm kind of almost assuming it's, I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but I kind of almost assume it's going to be in St. Louis. That's where Devin is a big draw,
obviously.
Okay. So I would assume St. Louis, but I'm not sure. I didn't read. I just saw that, And I was like, man, wait till I talk. I got to talk to Sugar Ray Robinson. I got to talk to Ray.
I saw that Ray Nard within
2 days of each other. And all I thought about was you, man.
I appreciate it. But listen, man, you know, eventually I feel like my time is going to come. And I'm basically waiting my turn. You know, sometimes you can get impatient and frustrated when you see things. But, you know, if someone, you know, willing to give me a shot and give me my opportunity, I think, you know, I've proven myself. I think that, you know, each fight I've proven and got better. I feel like. So I'm a good crowd pleaser. I'm not just only winning, but, you know, for my last 5 fights, I stopped 3 guys. So I'm getting some type of power from somewhere from, you know, hard work. So eventually, you know, I get that phone call. There we go.
Yeah.
Right. If you got the phone call from someone of a higher weight class, would you be willing to take that opportunity?
Yeah, if I sit down with my managers and them and if the opportunity is right, you know, I'm in my stage of my career. If, you know, anything can, you know, I feel like I can take off at any moment. So if an opportunity come and, you know, if the number one guy for a world title or, you know, they come, you know, this is a business. They come to me with the right money and say, hey, listen, we want you to fight this guy at, you know, 150, whatever, 152, whatever the weight class is. Then I'm pretty sure, you know, we can sit down and figure things out if need be. But, you know, it's all, you know, it is a team. You know, I got to talk to my managers and if the numbers is right and things is – and my opportunity is right. If I think it's worth my opportunity and I think it's fair and it's only right, then absolutely. And especially if the you know, the fans and the people want to see it, you know, I'm like back in the day. You got to beat the best to be the best. So I got the old school trailer.
Yeah, you do because again, you fought a guy like Sean Porter early in your career. You also fought him at a heavier weight. How did fighting at that weight affect your performance, you felt? And you were younger at that time, so you
like,
weren't fully
I was. I don't like making
like
excuses. I don't like making excuses, but honestly, I feel like I am, which you just said. I'm older, and I got a different team behind me. I know how to eat right. I know how to, you know, bulk up with muscle now. So I feel like, you know, if I get another opportunity, if it's a big opportunity, I would definitely be more ready. And I'm more patient. I'm more smarter. I'm more older. So I'm a tad bit more wiser. So I think I'd be okay at a higher weight if need be.
Let me ask you something. Last week we had Bednar Cherry on, who had fought Timothy Bradley. And he said, you know, he was a light puncher and things like that. What do you see for tonight's fight? What do you expect to see out of it?
It's your weight class we're talking about.
Well, I know. Well, man, as y'all remember, I went to Marquette, Michigan, and Timothy Brady did too. So, man, him was, you know, good friends for a good couple years. But that's another thing. It all depends on what Tim Bradley shows up. You know, sometimes Tim Bradley, he can have too much heart, and you got to think about the guy he's fighting is very old school and wise, and so he got the experience. So, you know, if Tim Bradley, I feel like Tim Bradley can really outbox. And I think, you know, people don't see that out of Tim Bradley is, you know, boxing and moving and stuff like that. But I think a lot of, you know, fighters nowadays don't know how to do that anymore. They forget about their legs and hit, not get hit. So I'm that type of fighter, you know. But I don't know. It can go both ways. You know, I will always root for Tim Bradley because he was always one of the bad boys. But if I ever get the phone call to fight Tim Bradley or Marquez, I'm ready to go. So
I want you to get the phone call to fight Andre Berto.
Yeah, man, I take that too.
That's the fight I keep seeing, man.
I definitely take that fight too. Honestly, man, I just feel like I'm really putting in the hard work. You know, I feel like early in my career, you know, I was winning off of talent. You know, I'm actually dedicating myself to the sport. Like, I mean, I fell completely heels over heels with boxing. I love it. I'm just an all around athlete. Like I was saying, I'm staying in shape. And I love staying in shape, and it's me owning this gym. I want to look good, so when people come in, they say, this guy, absolutely, I want them to train me. He looks good. He looks like he's in shape. So, and it helps out with my boxing career. And, you know, I feel like for the last couple, five fights, I've been putting on, you know, a good show. And I feel like this is, you know, y'all still haven't seen me, all of me yet. You know, I feel like I'm doing good each fight.
How close do you walk around to your fighting weight?
I just checked my weight yesterday, this morning. I was 8 pounds over.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's unacceptable. Ty,
wow.
You have to come up there and run him around four or five times. Run him down to Philly, run him back up.
I got to go trade him. Wow. Wow. But see, what that does, though, is that way when you have a fight, it really allows you in camp to focus on strategy.
It really does.
Skill and technique and craft
as opposed
to after.
You're always ready.
It's something that someone told me before. It's just like football players, basketball players, they always have a training camp first, like before they, you know, go to this regular season and all that.
Yeah.
So I don't – once this camp time come, I don't have to concentrate on my weight. You know, the only thing I have to concentrate on is me getting a tad bit more sharper, you know, because I'm already in shape and run. I've been running. I've been eating right, so I'm not getting on a diet. I'm just keep doing what I've been doing.
Now
it's my lifestyle, and I love living like this. And you know, it's easy. And you got to think about it. These guys that's on top, like Floyd Mayweather, Bernard Hopkins, all them guys. That's what they do. And you know, I'm trying to take a page out their book. If they doing it, why not me? And I'm, you know, 27, and you know, I'm hungry. I'm more hungry than I've ever been. And you know, once the opportunity come, I'm ready to open the door and you know, kick it in.
And, you know, and that has been the problem with enough boxers is they're boxers, but they don't dedicate themselves to being world-class athletes. And like you said, the Floyd Mayweathers, Bernard Hopkins, Vladimir Klitschko's, these guys are world-class, round-the-clock athletes. And I think that is the difference, definitely with conditioning in a ring, definitely with longevity, too. We look at a guy like Ricky Hatton, who I always call it the Ricky Hatton syndrome, who ballooned up, you know, 50 pounds overweight. And then have to lose all that weight back. You know, it just takes a toll on the body. So
it really does.
Yeah, you're 27. You're at your prime. You're in a prime of your career. So you still haven't even reached your peak yet. But at the same time, because of your conditioning and the way you're eating, like a Marquez, you can make that peak last a little bit longer, like a Floyd Mayweather, who at 36 was incredibly sharp when he fought, you know, Canelo Alvarez. So.
Absolutely. I agree. Something that one of my old trainers says, Moses, he always told me, you know, just sacrifice a couple years now. You know, if you sacrifice a couple years of hard work and really, you know, put your all into it, then, you know, you can live the rest of your life on a vacation. So I'm willing to sacrifice hard work now for how many years, 5, 6, 8 years I have left. And, you know, I'm willing to put it in. All my chips is in right now. So I'm willing to, you know, put in the hard work. And once the opportunity comes, I can pat myself on the back. I'm like, you know, you get it all.
What did you think of Danny Garcia's win over Matisse?
One thing about Danny Garcia, he always found a way to win. So I can't, you know, never knock Danny. He's a Philly fighter. You know, I think that he did what he's supposed to do. You know, he's doing something right. Everyone keep, you know, giving him the short end of the stick, and he keep coming out on top. So if whatever he's doing, you know, he's doing something right. So maybe we, you know, a couple of fighters stuff are hating on him, probably need to take a page out of his book and figure things out there. So.
How about that? Good one.
Yeah, he got the Briscoe Award at tonight's banquet for being the athlete of the year for the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, man, I wanted to say congratulations to all them guys, too. I know Jesse Hart and all them guys down there. He won Rookie of the Year. So I'm proud of all them guys.
And Stevie Cunningham got it for the Show of the Year. Best Show of the Year.
Oh, okay.
So that's that's pretty good honors for some really good guys. Good guys of boxing and good guys from Philadelphia. And we're always happy to make sure that everybody knows that there is you know, not only is it the city of brotherly love, it's the city of where boxing was founded, as far as I'm concerned. And if it wasn't for the Blue Horizon, many, many guys today that are retired would never have had a career. So, it's
a good
town.
As well as the old Spectrum, too.
Yeah, right. And the down at 46th and Market at the old arena.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, Ray, we really appreciate your coming on with us tonight, and we we certainly hope that you get a decent opponent very soon and that you make a hell of a lot of money. And then,
thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Then we'll become part of your posse, so you just let us know when you want us to come up there and live.
Listen, I'll tell you this. Once I get that phone call, and I'm pretty sure y'all hear it too, once I get that phone call, I want you guys to interview me first, and we all can celebrate together before the and after the win.
You got
it. Hey, the new! But that's what we're here, the new welterweight champion!
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Yes.
We want to thank you. I know it takes a lot working and trying to keep yourself in shape to take some time away from your family. And we appreciate your taking this time to give us some time to talk to you. And I know the fans around the world appreciate listening to you and the fact that you've come so far. And again, you're part of the of this radio family, and we keep. As close to tabs on you as I possibly can. And when you get that big one, you know, if Dave or Nick lets me know early, we'll have you on that evening if we can. Whether it's the
All right, well, I really appreciate that.
Whether it's the Wednesday night program, the Monday night program, the Tuesday night program, or this program.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate y'all having me on.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for coming on, as usual.
All right, have a good night, you guys.
You too. Good.
You too.
All right, bye.
Well, guys, we're up against the clock here. And Z, you want to lead us out? Oh, wait a minute, Z.
Certainly.
How about giving us a fast update on your son? What position is he playing? We know he's playing at Howard High School tonight, playing St. George.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a fast update on that one.
Yeah, Howard's playing St. George's tonight. My son plays for Howard High School. He plays defensive tackle.
He's
the starting defensive tackle for that varsity team.
Great.
So just wish them luck. I want to thank our guests. I definitely want to thank Danny Batchelder and Ray Robinson. And these shows are definitely a memory of Bob. If anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Ty?
Yeah, definitely want to thank Danny Batchelder for coming on. Dr. Chris, we missed you. At least my funny bone did. also, I got to sadly, begrudgingly say, Juan Manuel Marquez has been my favorite fighter for a decade. Now may be inching toward second, and the new Sugar Ray Robinson may now be my very favorite fighter. I love that kid. And I wish him the best. Bob is our co-pilot. See everyone next week.
Okay. We want to thank everybody for listening worldwide, especially Mr. Trevor J., Mr. Ty Anthony, Mr. Brady Quinn, and the lovable and despubable always Mr. Caden J. Carroll. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. Grateful appreciation to men and women of the United States Armed Forces and Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, introduce your children to them. Just tell them thank you, or just a simple stay safe makes a big, big difference to all the guys and women out there. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwith, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, the Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Patrol Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night.
Shemalek ma'ilama Shemahezahir ma Sona shenevorat fed Hakuig again ma'ilama
responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Thank you. night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.